Well, good morning. Good morning. So excited to see all of you guys this morning. You know, it is hard for me to believe, but we are just a few days away from not only turning over a new year, but a new decade. Like, have you thought about that? Like, we are about to enter into the 20s, the 2020s. And I think back over my life, like, I think back 20 years ago, what I was doing this time, I was sitting in my youth pastor's house, and we were getting ready for Y2K. Do you remember Y2K? Like, this was, like, supposed to be the end of the world. Do you remember this? Like, I had friends and neighbors who stocked up on so much, like, green beans and canned goods and ammunition. They were, like, ready for either the worst famine ever or the zombie apocalypse, right? That's what was going on. And so 20 years just has gone by like that. And so in 2020, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be in a place where I am 1 year away from my 20th high school reunion. That's mind-blowing to me. In 2021, it'll be 20 years since I graduated from high school. Next year in 2020, it will be the 20-year anniversary of when Autumn and I got together. I went to her locker right before, a couple months before prom, and said, hey, you want to go to the prom with me? I was real, you know, classy and debonair about it. She, I don't know why, but she said yes, and the rest is history, right? 20 years ago. And according to, I don't know, like every 80s sci-fi movie that was ever made, in 2020, we're all going to be wearing silver jumpsuits and driving flying cars, right? If you've watched any sci-fi movie that came out anytime in the 80s or before that, 2020 to me is just, it's a number that for some reason, I don't know why, it's crazy. It's just different. Like 2018, okay, 2019, but 2020 just feels like, wow, we are entering into a new time here. Something feels different about it to me. And as I reflect over the last couple of years of my life, going back, you know, 2 or 3 years, I've really, over this last part of this decade, I struggled with this tension. And I was at this church for almost 8 years, so I spent most of this decade of the 2010s in this great church, growing church, 2,000-plus people coming every single weekend. And I was the associate pastor, and I loved my job, and I loved what I did, and I loved the people that I was with. But there was something inside of me, and I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get it to go away as much as I wanted it to. That maybe I was supposed to move on and maybe I was supposed to do something different. And I kept feeling this call to the point where I was starting to have sleepless nights about it, that Justin, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to plant a church. And I wasn't 100% sure where that was supposed to be. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to go back to where I grew up or do something in Pittsburgh. And I wrestled with this tension and I struggled with it. And one day, finally, after a long, long wrestling match with God, I came to the conclusion that I wasn't going to grow. I wasn't going to make progress in my relationship with Christ. I wasn't going to grow in my leadership unless I took this step of faith. The reality is this. I had gotten really comfortable. Really, really comfortable. My life was easy. I had money. I had a nice house. I had everything that you could wish for and want. I was in a church that by the world standards would look at that and go, that's one of the top 1% in America, 2,000 plus people. Why would you leave that? Because the reality is, I think probably in a few years, it would have been my job to take, to be the senior pastor there. And there were things about that that were really attractive to me. And I, again, I loved the church I was in, but there was also just that nagging of like, no, Justin, I don't think that's the plan for you. And so in February of this year, we made the decision to plant True North Church. And with 12 people in a living room, we began to dream. And we began to think about what could this look like? How could this be different? What kind of church does God want to create here? And where does he want to put it? And so we ended up landing on this area, this North Hills, right? And in 6 months, that 12 grew from 12 to about 30. And on September 8th of this year, we launched with our very first worship celebration right here where you are sitting. And over the last several months, this has grown from, 30 people to close to 100 people calling this church their home, with about 70 people showing up and 70, people and kids, adults and kids showing up on a weekend, on a Sunday, to worship and to be a community of people, to be the people that God has called us to be. And he's done, I believe, some amazing things already just in the 3 or 4 months that we have been this little community. Starting with, I believe, lives are being changed here. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. That's what we're trying to accomplish. That's what we want to get done here more than anything. We just want to see people's lives changed. And I believe that's happening. We're having opportunities to pray with people who are going through things, who are going through struggle and hurt and pain, and be able to reach into their lives with the heart of God and help them. We've given out Bibles to people who didn't have them and are now beginning to read and learn about who God created them to be and the purpose and the plan that he has for their life. We've been able to get into our community and to serve, to begin to give back. This year, we were able to, during this Christmas season, pack up now close to 35 bags for foster kids to be able to give to families that don't have what they need when a foster child shows up to their home. I don't know. I don't have the exact dollar amount on what that is, but my guess is thousands of dollars worth of bags being able to be given to the Foster Love Project. And just this week, we were able to give a $1,000 check to Foster Love to be able to pay for things like car seats and other supplies and things that aren't included in the bag drive to be able to help them. And the reason that I say all that is this. To me, if you don't stop and celebrate every once in a while, and I would argue, if you don't stop and celebrate often, you're missing out on a really important aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. See, at the end of the day, he has done so much for us. He has given us hope. He has given us a future. He's given us an opportunity to be part of his mission and his purpose in the world. And I believe that is to be celebrated. God is doing something in this place. And I think we ought to give him glory, and we ought to give him some honor, and we ought to give him some praise this morning for what he is doing around here. Something's happening in this place. But here's what I don't want you to miss this morning, is that God isn't even close to being done with us. He is just getting started. He's just getting started. The mission that he has placed on our hearts, on the heart of this church, we're just getting started, because the reality is this: while there may be lots of people sitting in this room today who are now having an authentic relationship with Jesus because of what we're doing around here, there are millions of people just in the Pittsburgh area alone who do not have that hope and that future, who do not know Christ. And we have an opportunity to take Christ to them, to show them what his love is really all about. I don't know if you know this, but let me just give you this statistic. There are approximately 50 to 60% of people in Pittsburgh who do not identify with any type of spirituality in any way, shape, or form. And there's approximately 2.5 million people in the greater Pittsburgh area. There's about 500,000 just in the North Hills alone. And so if you take that number, let's just say 50%, we're talking about 250,000 people who do not know the love of Christ, who do not know what he can do for them, how he can change their life. And so we have an incredible opportunity in front of us. And this is what I want you to hear this morning. That as a church, we're not done yet. That 2019 has been an amazing year, but I believe the best is yet to come. That 2020 is going to be a year that God just completely blows us away and knocks our socks off. And I want to talk about how we can be involved in what God wants to do in this community and in Pittsburgh this morning. So let me ask you this question as we start. What breaks your heart? What breaks your heart? And no, I'm not talking about like how they took away the chocolate cake, the nuclear-sized chocolate cake at Costco which is devastating. I'm talking about what's that thing that makes you go, somebody has to do something about this. This breaks my heart. I can't stand to watch this happening in people's lives. What are we going to do about this? Let me just share with you a couple of the things that break my heart. Number one, broken families. I'm the product of a broken family. And I can tell you right now, if you've been or were part of a broken family, it's devastating. It's devastating on a marriage. It's devastating on the children, if there are any involved. And when I look at the brokenness of families in our community, it breaks my heart. People who are addicted, whether it's to a substance or video games or pornography or sports, or you can go right on down the list. People who are addicted and they can't break it and they can't shake it, and no matter how hard they've tried, nothing has worked. People who are depressed and anxious and worried, and they're struggling through life, and it's weighing them down to the point where they can barely get out of bed in the morning, and they have no joy and they have no hope, that breaks my heart. People who are making destructive decisions with their lives, decisions that maybe they don't even realize are having an incredibly negative impact on their life, and they don't even know what they don't know, that breaks my heart, that their life could be so much better. People who are going through this life, and they don't know Christ, they don't know his healing and saving power, they've never experienced him on a real, authentic, relational level, and they are just meandering through this life without purpose, without any understanding of how great life could be with him in their life. That breaks my heart. And that is the reason that we started True North Church. Because there are things that break our heart, and there are people in this life who are going through things and struggling through things, and we want to help them. We want to enter into their pain and their struggle. We want to enter into the monotony of those who don't even realize that their life could be better. And we want to help them understand that this man, Jesus, this God, can change everything. That's why we're here, and that's why we do everything that we do. We have a mission statement around here. Some of you have probably never heard this before. And if you brought something to write with this morning, if you got your phone and you're taking notes, I encourage you, write this down this morning, because this is why we do everything that we do here. It is paramount. It is the only thing that matters. It is why we invest all of our time and energy and dollars for this one purpose, so that people might discover the amazing love of Jesus and develop into world-changing disciples. That's our goal here. That's our mission, to help people discover this amazing, incredible God that so many of us have already discovered, that he has changed our lives, and we want that for other people. But we also want those of us who've already made that decision, who've already kind of crossed the line and said, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord and my King. I'm going to follow you. I believe that you are my Savior. We want to help people make progress, to continue to develop, to not stay where we are, but to get better every single day and to change the world. You see, the reason that you see people sitting in this auditorium right now is because somebody at some point, whether it was someone sitting in this room or somewhere else, talked to you about Christ, shared his amazing love with you, and you became a part of the fold, even if you don't even know if you believe yet. That's who we are as a church. It's the only thing that matters. And the thing that I've been thinking about and just marinating on as we've gone through this process over the last year and as we get ready to head into a brand new year and a brand new decade is this. Changed people want to help change people. Changed people change people. If you have been changed, if God has done something in your life, there should be this uncontainable fire inside of us. For other people to know that, for other people to want to have what we have. And so that's why we're a church at the end of the day. Changed people want to change people. And so as I think about our mission and I think about what we want to try to accomplish, at the end of the day, we have to have a strategy, don't we? I mean, it's one thing to just say, okay, we've got this mission statement. It's another thing to actually have some things that we want to put into place so that we can latch on to that and every day be focused on that and try to make a difference through that. And at the end of the day, it comes down to one thing. Our mission comes down to one thing, one verse in all of Scripture that I believe is a key linchpin verse for us here. It's John 13, 34. I'm going to have them throw this up on the screen. Let's read this together. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. These are the words of Jesus himself. He took the entire law, all of the commandments, and he boiled it down to one thing. He said, I want you to love one another, the way that I have loved you. This is your one command. He made it very simple, but at the end of the day, honestly, this is so much more difficult than trying to follow all of the other laws. Loving people is not always easy. It's a challenge, and yet this is the challenge that Jesus has given us. And so here's the question. How do we do this? Well, we've got five core values here at True North Church, and I think it's so important for us to understand what those core values are. Because every day, we're trying to live these things out. Number one, first and foremost, we're going to show grace around here. We're going to show grace, we're going to show it relentlessly, and we're never going to stop. And that means that no matter what somebody comes in here with, whatever brokenness they come in here with, whatever ideologies they come in here with, no matter what they believe about God, no matter what they might be doing in their personal time when nobody sees, we're going to show them grace. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. Because every single day, Jesus is still showing me grace in my sin and all of my screw-ups. And all the times that I'm not getting it right, he continues to pour out this limitless grace. He never, ever stops. And we're going to do that for people. We're going to love people that way. We're going to love them by showing them grace. But the second piece of this, the second core value, it goes hand in hand with grace. You cannot separate this from grace, is we're going to speak truth. Because at the end of the day, just showing grace isn't really going to change anybody. It's the start. It's the diving board, the springboard, if you will, for change. Because once you know that somebody cares about you and loves you and has grace for you and has mercy for you, then you're willing to listen. But if the truth never comes, how do we change? We don't. And so we're going to speak the truth here. We're going to speak it in love. We're going to speak it in humility. We're not going to be on our high horse and act like we have it all together, because we certainly do not. Without Jesus every single day, we are lost and broken. But we want people to have a better life. And the only way that we make progress, the only way that we get to that point where we're starting to actually see progress made in our life is when somebody speaks the truth to us. I would argue that the most loving thing that we can do for a person is to speak the truth to them, even when it hurts. because we love them and we care about them and we want them to be better. We have to speak the truth with grace. Now, what is the greatest truth that we can share with somebody? It's Jesus. And that's our third core value. We're going to show grace, we're going to speak truth, and we are going to share Jesus. At the end of the day, this is the only thing that matters. That people have an encounter with Christ and they recognize who he is. That without him they are lost and they have no hope and they desperately need him. And that he is the only way. That's what we believe around here. I know that's not politically correct in the world that we live in. What do you mean Jesus is the only way? Jesus is the only way. That's what I mean. And it sounds super exclusive, but it's actually not. See, Jesus offers this free gift to every single person. Everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you come from or what your background is or what you've done, he offers it to everyone. And there is nothing you have to do except receive it and believe it. To me, that's the greatest gift that has ever been given. I get an opportunity to be in heaven with my heavenly Father for all time, and I didn't have to do anything for it. He just gave it to me. That's what we want people to know. But fourth, core value number four. Again, I encourage you to write these down. We're going to serve generously around here. Because once Jesus has done something in you, once he's changed you, once he's working in your life, there should be some fruit from that. And the fruit of what Jesus has done in me is the service that I am giving back to the rest of the world around me and the community around me. How do we do that? We serve with our time, we serve with our talent, and we serve with our treasure. Those are really the only three things that we have to offer. I have time, I have the talent that God has given me, and I have the financial resources that God has given me. And around here, here's our hope and our prayer, is that we would be a community where every single person who calls True North Church their home would take a step of faith and say, you know what, I'm going to give back because I want to leverage what God has given me to make an impact in this community and in this world and in this city. We're going to change the world. Do you believe that? I do. With all my heart. And a huge part of that is simply giving back of what God has given to us. God, I'm going to use the resources that you have given to me with everything that I have. Matthew 6:21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The things that we spend our time on, the things that we spend our money on, that says what we value, whether you like it or not. There's a reason that we spend a lot of money to have a house, because that's really important to have a roof over our heads and have a place where we can go when it's cold. And you know it's cold in Pittsburgh. Like, that's important to people. And where we spend the rest of our resources, that says a lot about what we value too. Where we spend our time, what we spend our time doing, that says a lot about what we value. And the truth this morning is this: if we value our relationship with Christ and we value this mission that he has given to all of us as Jesus followers, then we're going to spend our time and our money doing things to build the kingdom as much as we possibly can. And I think what's so awesome to me about that is when you begin to do that, not only does your life change, the people around you, their lives are going to be changed. And you're going to find so much more fulfillment and purpose in your life. It's not about the time. It's not about the talent. It's not about the treasure. It's about our heart. God is trying to work and do something in us, and he's trying to work and do something in others. This is so vitally important. We're going to serve generously around here. But then finally, core value number five. There's five of them. We're going to seek community. We're going to seek community with one another. If we're really called to love people, we can't love people if we're not around people. right? We have to be around people. We have to want to be in relationship with others. This is so much more than a church, than an organization or an institution. This is a community of people who are encouraging one another, who are on mission together, making a difference with each other, who actually like being around each other, who are having fun together. I don't know about you, but I'm having a blast. I'm having fun. I'm loving what I'm doing, and a huge part of that is the people that I'm getting to do it with. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's not just a place, just a one-hour service that we come to once a week to hear somebody on a stage or to listen to some music. It's so much more than that. It's a community. It's a fellowship. That's the churchy word for it. People doing life together. And so, as we think about those, the mission, those core values, here's what I want to make sure we understand. That as a church, that's who we want to be. And there are certain things that we don't necessarily want to be known for. There are things that we want to be known for, and there are things that we don't want to be known for. And the question that came to my mind often as we were planting this church was this: how are we going to be different? Because there's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of great churches out there, to be honest. Some of them right in this area. But how are we going to be different? And the thing that kept coming to my mind is this: I don't want to be known as a church that has great programs. There's nothing wrong with great programs. We want to be excellent in the programs that we have, and they serve their value and their purpose. But that's not what I want to be known for out in the community. You can go to a YMCA and find great programs. I don't want to be known for great music. Our band is awesome. I love them. They do a phenomenal job. They're fantastic. But I don't want to be known for having great music. You can go down to PPG and you can listen to some of the best acts on the planet pretty much anytime you want. That's not what we want to be known for around here. We don't want to be known for great preaching and great teaching. That's an easy one. Done. Right? You could get on your little iPhone or your Android phone right now, and you could find 1,000 people in this world who are 1,000 times better speaker than I am. You don't need me in this day and age, in 2019, to get a good word from somebody. I can think of 5 guys right off the top of my head right now who I would rather listen to than me. That's not what we want to be known for around here. There are plenty of great churches around here that have speakers that are amazing and better than me. What I want to be known for, what I dream about, is being known as the church that just loves people relentlessly. That when you're walking down the street in the North Hills with your True North t-shirt on and somebody sees that, they go, "That's the church right there that came to my aid when I was in trouble. That's the church that when I went there, they took the time to pray for me and be with me when I was hurting and I was broken and my marriage was falling apart or I was addicted and I couldn't get out of it. That's a church that loves like Jesus loved, with unbelievable grace and unbelievable truth, week in and week out. That's what I want to be known for. And my hope and my prayer is that we are developing and becoming that kind of community here. And that we never settle for the status quo, for just being like everybody else. That we never settle for just where we're at, but we're always pushing to be better, to become more and more like Christ, to share his love more and more in our world. And so the question then becomes this, If this is our mission, if these are our core values, if this is the dream, if this is what we want to be and who we want to become, how do you get involved in that? How do you play a part in that? Some of you are already playing a major role. And you're making a difference. And people's lives are being changed because of what God is doing through you. But here's what I know. The more people that we can get inside the boat, rowing with the people who are already in the boat, the faster that boat gets moving, the more steam it gets, the more powerful it becomes. And as you add more and more people, it just gets faster and faster and grows bigger and bigger. And we have greater influence and greater impact in the world as that happens. I don't know about you, but I'll never be satisfied until every single person out in our community knows Jesus Christ. Ever. I won't be satisfied until every person who calls True North Church their home has latched on to the mission and the vision of Jesus Christ in this world and has an intense desire to be a part of that and make an impact and make a difference. Part of what the organizational church has to offer is opportunities for you to get involved and be a part of the mission of the church in this world. Yeah, you can do it personally, and I encourage you to do that. You should do that. But you can also do it corporately. You can be part of this community. And there are a lot of different ways that you can do that. We talk about them week in and week out. But here's the one thing that I want to challenge you to do in 2020 that I believe will completely change the culture of this church, and more importantly, will change the lives of the people that you are interacting with every single day. You see, there are hurting people, there are broken people, there are people who need to discover the amazing love of Jesus. But we have to pay attention to what's going on in people's lives. And I'm not very good at this. Just totally transparent. I get the blinders on sometimes, and I'm doing my job. I'm taking care of my stuff, and I might have a few people in my life that I'm really focused on, but most of the people out here, I'm not paying a whole lot of attention. And this is what Jesus did that we need to do and put into practice every single day. He paid attention. And he didn't just pay attention to people. He paid attention to the tension in their lives. And this is what I want to challenge us to do in 2020. I want this to become so ingrained in our minds that it becomes automatic when we are in our schools, when we are in our jobs, when we are in our homes, when we are in our communities, that this becomes so automatic we do it without even thinking. When you hear that someone is struggling, would you just stop and pay attention to the tension in their life? When you see that person who's lost, who's struggling their way through this life, who's miserable maybe, would you pay attention to the tension in their life? When you encounter that person whose marriage is falling apart and crumbling, would you pay attention to the tension? When you see that person who's got that addiction, when you see that person who's depressed and anxious, when you see that person who's going through life and they just don't even know what they don't know, would you begin to pay attention to the tension in their life? Because something amazing is going to happen as you do that. You're going to be given an opportunity to share something with them that can completely change the trajectory of their life, maybe for an eternity. You're going to be able to begin to share the hope of what Jesus has done for you. See, here's my challenge. And this is going to be the challenge for 2020, and honestly, this is going to be the challenge beyond. For us as a church to be the church that God has called us to be the kind of church that does love people and care about people authentically. We have to begin to pay attention to the tension. And when we hear the tension, when we recognize it, just simply begin to share Jesus with them. I love what 1 Peter 3:15 says. He says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." If he is our Lord, if he is our Savior, then we've got to be prepared to talk to people, everyone, anyone, about Jesus. To tell them about the hope that we have. To do it in humility, with grace and respect, and honoring that person, not putting them down because of what they're going through or the fact that they're not doing it the way that you do it, but to love them the way that Christ did. That is the challenge. And I want this for us as a community to just become automatic. Have you ever tried to train a dog with one of those like shock collars? You know what I'm talking about? Now, first, let me preface this by saying, I'm not saying that you are all a bunch of dogs and you should be trained with a shock collar, okay? But I am using this as an illustration. When you train a dog with a shock collar, you use this little beep. And as they get closer and closer to the edge of where their boundary is, you make sure that little beep goes off, and then they get like a little shock, right? And it trains them. When they hear the beep, don't go past this point. It trains them to make their ears perk up and go, "Whoop, I better not go any further." And it becomes so automatic that the dog just knows, when I reach this certain point, I don't go any further than this. They pay attention to the beep, because when that beep goes off, they know this is serious. For us, I want us to be like a dog who has been trained by that shock collar, and when we hear the tension in someone's life, it's automatic. It's like we feel that little jolt. Oh, somebody's going through something here. A friend in my office who's struggling with their marriage, I have an opportunity now. I need to pay attention to the tension there. That family member who keeps coming home from work every single day and they're just depressed and anxious about their job, there's an opportunity there. Every single person that we come in contact with is an opportunity to be Jesus, the love of Jesus, in their tension. And so practically, I want to give you a couple of steps. When you hear the beep, right? If you've trained yourself that when you hear the beep, you're going to do some things. Question is, what do you do? And this is really, there's this super churchy word called evangelism. This is our strategy for evangelism here at True North Church. It's this simple. Again, I would encourage you to write this down. When you hear the beep, number one, you listen to their story. Listen to their story. Hear them. Show that you care about them. Act like you actually love them, like you want what's best for them. Listen to their story. Next, you share your story. You all have a story. I have a story. God has done, hopefully, something in some of your lives. Share how Jesus has impacted you and how he's changed you and how he's working in you. And then invite them to hear the gospel story. Invite them to hear the gospel. Maybe right there in that moment, you share it with them. Maybe in that moment, it's your opportunity to say, "You know what? This guy, this God, Jesus, he's done so much in my life, and I want to invite you to come and to experience him at my church. To experience him with the community of people that I get to be around every single week. Would you just come? Would you come and sit with me at church? Would you come and hear about this guy Jesus, because he will change your life?" It's such a simple thing, honestly, when you think about it. We make this so complicated. Let's pay attention to the tension in people's lives, and when we hear the tension, let's invite them to come and experience the hope and the future that we have. Boom, that's it. That's all God asks us to do. And then he says, I'll take care of the rest. You're my messenger. You proclaim the message, and I will do the work in their life that needs to be done. And whether you call True North Church your home or not, maybe you're visiting today and you know you're not going to be back here. Maybe you're listening and you go to another church. It doesn't matter. This isn't a True North Church thing. And I think that's what's so important here. I'm a follower of Jesus thing. And he has called us. He has actually commanded us to take this message into the world. It's not an option. And that's the truth. I'm not trying to get too much up in your grill this morning, but honestly, I want to get up in it just a little bit. This is who we're called to be as followers of Jesus. To be the person who invites other people into relationship with this amazing God who can change everything for them. There's this verse in Matthew chapter 28. It's called the Great Commission. And what it simply says is that we are to go into the world and make disciples. We're to go into the world and share Jesus. This is what it says. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the command of Jesus. And he commands us to do this because you and I, we are his primary method of showing people who Jesus is. We are the primary method of getting the word out, of sharing the hope of the gospel with people. And this is the reason that the church has grown. This is the reason that the global church, the Big C church, 2,000 years later, is still multiplying, is still growing. Because God's people, people who have been impacted by what he has done in their life, refused to just kick back and say, you know what, I'm good now, so I don't need to do anything else. From this point forward, here's the challenge. And with this, we're going to just worship and celebrate this morning. Think of the people in your life that you're going to come in contact with. And would you just go to them? Would you go to them? Would you go to them in their tension, the way that Jesus came to you in your tension? Because that's what Jesus did for me. He came into my tension and my story, and he interceded on my behalf, and he changed everything. He changed my whole life. And he's given me hope, and he's given me purpose. And even though my life isn't perfect, and every day I still struggle with things, and every day I still face circumstances that I wish I didn't have to handle, Jesus is going with me through all of that stuff. And my life is so much better. Would you go to your family member? Would you go to your friend? Would you go to your coworker? Would you go to the lady who's bagging groceries at Walmart? Go to them with this message. This is my hope and my prayer for us as a church and for the church, the global church, that we would become a people who want to enter into other people's tension. Why? Because we want to see people's lives change. That's it. That's it. It's that simple. That's why we exist as a church. That's why Jesus created and started the church, to intercede in people's lives. And we get to be a part of it. And so in this moment, I want to close And I want to take some time and I want to celebrate, number one, the good things that God has done in 2019. For you personally, maybe it's something he's done in your life. Maybe it's been through True North Church. Maybe it's been through something going on out there. But I also want to take a moment to just pray. To say, okay, God, we believe that you can do something in this community and in this city. We believe that you have a plan for the North Hills and beyond. And that we invite you, we invite your power into our lives to change other people through what you're doing through us. I believe God wants to do something powerful through each one of us. I believe God wants to move in a mighty way. I believe his Holy Spirit is here in this place. And that he wants to use you. So would you stand with me? Stand with me this morning. And over these next few moments, I want to encourage you to think about how you're going to go in 2020. To think about the people that you're already, I know God is already bringing to your mind that there's tension going on. To invite them to be a part of the family of God. And know this, that when they show up here, we're gonna do everything that we can to create an environment where they can come with their questions and they can come with their doubts and they can belong in this place before they ever even have an understanding of who Jesus is. That's the kind of place that we're gonna create here. And that's the kind of thing that we need to be praying for every single day throughout the rest of this year. And honestly, until Jesus comes back, that's the goal and that's the mission. So would you worship him this morning? If he's done something good in your life, would you pray in this moment that God would just blow the roof off of this place with people who need Jesus in their tension? I believe God's gonna do something great. He's gonna do something that just blows our doors off in this coming year. And I am so excited to see how it all plays out. Let's worship him this morning.